Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in for Pastor Butch. I'm sorry you're stuck with me. This is Jerry Barrett. I'm the host of Power of Prophecy and the pastor there. And Pastor Butch called me and asked me if I could fill in for him tonight, and I am so happy to do so. I love Pastor Butch. I've never met him in person, but every time I talk to him on the phone, I cannot help but smile. I know that he is standing in the breach, and he is trying to awaken as many people as he can. We need to really, really dig in and witness to as many people as possible, because we are in dire straits. This country, other places around the world that were predominantly Christian in nature, are so antichrist right now that it is unfathomable. And it breaks my heart. I know it breaks Pastor Butch's too. But we know that there will only be a remnant that will be saved. But we got to reach out and get as many as we can. We got to wake people up. And I watched the interview that Tucker Carlson did with Mike Huckabee, our ambassador in Israel. And Mike Huckabee is an unashamedly Christian Zionist. And during this interview, he made some very startling and disturbing admissions. And he said that the land of Israel was given to the Jews. And Tucker rebuts him and says, I've read Genesis 15, and it does say in 15:18, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. And Huckabee says, yeah, and Tucker goes, well, that's predominant, mostly the whole Middle East. And Huckabee goes, well, give it to him. But Tucker was undeterred. And I know that there are so many people out there today that loathe Tucker Carlson. They're calling him an anti-Semite, that he is a vile human being, blah, blah, blah. But Tucker's point right back at Mike Huckabee was, well, wait a minute. We have the technology. Why don't we do a DNA test? And we can discern if they really have any Israelite blood in them. Because if you look at their family history, they come from Eastern Europe, Poland, Latvia, the Caucasus, which is southern Russia. But Huckabee is dead set on the Jews having everything that they want. But, and this, I've had this discussion with Pastor Matt Furse. I've had this discussion with other Christian leaders. Pastor Chuck Baldwin, another one that I've visited with about this. The problem is Galatians 3 totally annihilates what Huckabee is trying to teach and espouse. Galatians 3 turns it into complete garbage. If you read 26 through 29, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So according to the Apostle Paul, if you are a blood-bought, born-again, Christ-believing Christian, the land between the Euphrates and the Nile belongs to us. How's that float your boat? Because if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But Huckabee and other Christian Zionists won't tell you about Galatians 3. You will never hear them preach on that topic. They can't do it. Because Paul was a Jew, and he was saved. And he lays it out right here. If you belong to Christ, then you are heirs according to the promise. That is heavy. And Tucker did a great job trying to show Huckabee the error in his ways. We need more people to stand up and stand on the true Word of God in the King James Bible. Not one of the fake versions. No. In the King James Bible. Just want to leave that there with you. Now, I read a multitude of news sources, and I'm always looking for something for my newsletter. By the way, if you want to get a copy of my newsletter, Power of Prophecy, you can email me at prophecy@textmars, and that's TEXEMARRS.com. You can give us a call at 1-800-234-9673, and we'll take down your name and your address, and we'll be happy to send you a copy of the newsletter. We put it out every month. If you just want to get it on email, just call or email me with your email address, and I'll send it to you. Be happy to do it. And if you can help support the ministry, that would be a blessing upon blessings. And I know Pastor Butch, you know, being a Bible-believing, Christ-professing ministry is not a money-making endeavor. If you're not into the name it, claim it, prosperity gospel, all of that mumbo-jumbo, the bills come and the money gets tight. And I know that Pastor Butch pays bills before he worries about himself. I know I do the same thing. We pay all our bills, and then Sandra and I will pay ourselves after everything is paid, and we're paid off. Don't owe anybody anything. But it's thanks to the support of lovely people like y'all that help Pastor Butch keep the radio shows going, keep the lights on. Same thing for Power of Prophecy. We want to thank you for your prayers and for your continued financial support. Now, I was perusing Breitbart, this afternoon, and a lot of people don't really understand our Constitution. When the Constitution was written, we had declared our independence from England, King George. He wanted to tax us and tax us and tax us, and didn't want us to have any representative say in how things were run. But our forefathers weren't going to have it. So they created this constitutional republic. And the first item of business in the Bill of Rights that they addressed was freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And basically, the First Amendment prevents the government from creating a religion unto itself. Sounds good. Except when you get down to it, Lyndon Johnson, the criminal, thug, Texas Mafia jackwagon that was behind the assassination of Kennedy, that's what I believe. He was a Zionist. But LBJ got tired of being lambasted by the church because he was a thug, a criminal, a punk. So he had the IRS craft this fancy-dancy, let's make it where they can claim tax-exempt status, but we're going to write in this little caveat where they can't criticize the government. They have to follow everything the government directs. They cannot. If the government says A is what we're going to do, they can't go B, right? Well, a lot of ministries and churches signed up for the 501c3. That's what it's called. And a lot of people found out after the fact, when the IRS called them to task, that you can't say that. Well, that's an infringement on the First Amendment because that's worshiping at the house of the federal government. They're dictating what religion can say and the leaders of the church. But the Second Amendment was written right after the first. It was the Second Amendment. That's why they call it the Second Amendment. But it knew that we needed to have a right to keep and bear arms to defend ourselves in case King George decided to send the Redcoats back across the pond and take back over this country. So we have the Second Amendment. And if you think about it at its most base level, we have the right to say what we feel, and we have the right to defend what we say and our families and our homes. But by and large, these demon rats that control certain states continually try to limit our Second Amendment. And Minnesota is just the latest. They are pushing a bill that will mandate that if you have an AR-15 or other specific semi-automatic rifles and pistols, that you must allow law enforcement to come into your home and check to make sure that you are complying with their gun storage requirement. They're going to write the grandfather clause is going to say that you get to keep it, but you got to prove to us, and we can spot check anytime. We just come right in your house. And we're going to make sure that These evil weapons, these AR-15s, are locked away in a gun safe. So that, to me, if you have to agree to this, that's a violation of the Second Amendment if you're in Minnesota. That's just Minnesota state law. But it's infringing on your right to keep and bear arms up in Minnesota. And with the Muslim population you got up there, you may want to go ahead and get some more ammo and get some more firepower. Because we don't know how much longer there's going to be peace. But then we go to Virginia. And I know that they just elected Spanberger. She's going to give the speech tonight, the rebuttal to President Trump's State of the Union address. And Spanberger, when she ran for governor of Virginia, she claimed she was a moderate. Yep, she was a middle of the road, not far left, not far right. She was going to be right there in the middle. But the Commonwealth of Virginia has been overrun with migrants, maybe H-1B visa, I don't know. But there's a whole lot of people that weren't born in this country that now live and are citizens in Virginia, and they have drunk the Kool-Aid, and they vote blue religiously. And now, in their state legislature, they are crafting a bill, House Bill 1525, that claims, this is Section C, this is 1C, it looks like. It is unlawful for any person younger than 21 years of age to knowingly and intentionally purchase a handgun or assault firearm anywhere in the Commonwealth. So right there, they're violating the Constitution, but they don't care. Because the Democrats know what's best for everybody. Just ask them. They'll tell you. So any person under 21 years of age cannot buy a handgun or an assault firearm. But you come down a little further. Under E, this section shall not apply to, and then you come down to number 2, and it says, any person who, while accompanied by an adult, is at a lawful shooting range or firearms educational class. So you have to be accompanied by an adult. So, okay. So you, under 21, you can't buy a gun unless you're accompanied by an adult. But then you look under Code of Virginia Law, subsection 1-204, age of majority. And this is what the Virginia law says. For the purposes of all laws of the Commonwealth, including common law, case law, and the acts of the General Assembly, unless an exception is specifically provided in this code, here's the kicker, a person shall be an adult, shall be of full age, and shall reach the age of majority when he becomes 18 years of age. So, you can't buy a gun unless you're with an adult. You can't go to a shooting range or an educational class unless you're with an adult. But according to Virginia law, you're an adult when you're 18. Maybe the legislators missed this little caveat. You have to wonder. It's just crazy how backward thinking these people are when they get put in office. And I know the liberals are going to blame the guns for everything. And I've made this comment on my show, and I've told friends for years, I have a 12-gauge shotgun, and it's for home protection. And I got it for my wife because if it's in the middle of the night, she doesn't have to be an expert marksman. The double-aught buck, I'll have to fix some drywall, but that's okay. I know how to do drywall. She just points and clicks and eradicates the problem. If I'm not around, and trust me, I call before I come home. She knows I'm coming. So she's not shooting me. But if she's by herself and it's Friday night and I'm on the football field working, if somebody comes in the house, she's got the shotgun right beside her. But it's our home defense system, right? But they want to limit what you can and cannot have, what you can and cannot do. It's all about control. Chicago has some of the most violent gang crime in the country. The news doesn't report how many people have been shot, multiple shootings in Chicago, but they have some of the strictest gun control laws. It doesn't compute, does it? Because the people that abide by whatever gun regulations are put out there, and they are not a violation of the Second Amendment, normal people obey the law. But I meant to finish my statement about the shotgun. I left it at the front door one day. And let's see, the UPS guy came by, the Amazon guy came by, because my wife buys from Amazon. Anyway, and you know, it never once did that shotgun jump up, chamber around, and shoot either delivery guy. Didn't shoot anybody. It's not the guns that are doing the damage, it's the people. Now, getting back to what I was saying earlier, the criminals aren't giving up their guns, and they don't care. It's the law-abiding people that have to put up with garbage like this. I don't understand why the liberals don't get it. It just blows my mind, the fact that they blame the gun, and they wanted to sue the gun manufacturers. We have a background check that gets done before you can purchase a firearm. Is that an infringement? Maybe, but it's one that I'll compromise, because solid citizens aren't going to do anything stupid to get a gun. Criminals will buy one off the street, or they'll steal one out of somebody's car. They could care less. Criminals are going to criminal. But have you ever wondered why the news doesn't report the mass shootings that go on in Chicago? You'll see it Labor Day weekend, as an example, is one of the busiest nights for Chicago PD, because everybody is drinking and celebrating, and then there's a fight, and everybody's got a gun. And there goes the party. Everybody's shooting at everybody. The gang violence in Chicago, part of the initiation for some of the gangs is to shoot people. Now, they're not looking to kill them per se, but you got to be willing to shoot at people to get in the gang. How many people do you got to shoot? I don't know. Now, this is kind of a crude name, but the website that I look at for Chicago statistics is ajackass.com. They list all the shootings and how many murders and all of this on that webpage. Chicago, but it's not big enough to make national news. And when you have a mass shooting event, you'll get a breaking news banner. and all of a sudden they cut to the newsroom. And they're going to tell you that there's been a mass shooting at location X in state Y. And they'll give you the beginnings of the details, and then we'll have more later. And it comes back, and there's no more. Doesn't even get mentioned. Because it doesn't fit their narrative. In Chicago, if it's a mass shooting on the South Side, who cares? I care. Because those are human beings. They all need Christ. But they're not going to get it if they're pushing up daisies. Another one that you won't hear any more details about. And it's becoming more and more prevalent. And I'll give you a recent example up in Rhode Island at the with the hockey game. This dude was mentally unstable. He claimed he was a woman. And he shot his wife. He shot his kid. I think he shot a total of six people. But it didn't make national news, did it? There was a shooting at a hockey rink in Rhode Island, blah, blah, blah. No mention that this dude was a trainee. They won't do that. And I've got a list of other trans shooters. Tumblr Ridge, transgender, 9 dead, 27 injured. The Annunciation Catholic Church, 2 murdered, 17 injured. The Nashville Christian School, transgender, 6 murdered. Lakewood Church, transgender, 2 injured. Colorado Springs Nightclub. This guy was non-binary. He didn't claim to be male or female. He was just mentally disturbed, I guess. 5 murdered. Denver, dude identified as a tranny. 1 murdered, 8 injured. Aberdeen, transgender, 3 murdered. Shooter was also killed. In Iowa High School, tranny, 2 murdered, 6 injured. The predominant amount of mass shootings here lately have been perpetrated by transgender people. And prior to COVID, the World Health Organization recognized transgenderism as a mental illness. And during the Rona, they, in their infinite wisdom, decided, nope, they're not. They're not mentally ill. Yes, they are. Goodness gracious. These people need help. They need mental help. And they all need Christ. We're going to have to take a break. I want to thank you for allowing me to sit here and visit with you. We're going to take a pause, and I'll come back, and I got a whole lot more to get to. Satan's army roams the land,
seeking souls of fallen men. Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSG. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Demand.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war.
Hello, friends. Thank you for coming back for the second half. I'm happily filling in for Pastor Butch. I hope you don't mind me just kind of rambling on a little bit. But it's such an honor to get to come on here and help Pastor Butch. He's such a great dude. I love the man. He is so much fun to chat with, and I try to tune in every chance I get. And when he gets an opportunity to have me on, I love just visiting with him. Always have a good time. Now, today is the State of the Union address that Trump has given, and hopefully you're listening to me and not tuning in to that garbage, but, well, I say that. Can you imagine that 40 Democrats have decided to boycott the State of the Union? That's how divided this country is. 40 of our elected representatives, be it the House or the Senate, matters not, 40 of them do not want to sit there and listen to the president. And that just flabbergasted me. Almost as bad as Nancy tearing up his speech that he gave her a copy of, which, by the way, was a violation of the law and protocol. How rude was that? You know, they loved Trump when he was a New York liberal. He wasn't racist. He was a great guy. They loved him because he gave them money. And they were idiots if they thought that he didn't play both sides of the aisle. I know Trump gave money to the right and the left candidates so that he would get what he wanted out of the legislation. But there was a nut job, a self-proclaimed scholar of the far right. She got on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. When Trump was elected, she said that, oh, this is going to be horrible. It's going to be unbearable. And she fled to Canada. And she spent months fear-mongering. She said there was going to be a genocide under Trump. And she packed her bags for Canada. Isn't that special? Kind of like Rosie O'Donnell fleeing to Ireland. Can't believe they let her stay, but hey, Ireland can keep her. That's okay. But this little sociology PhD candidate took off for Canada with her partner, she says. It could be male or female. We used to call them boyfriend, girlfriend, but that means she's shacking up, which is a sin. Used to call them husbands and wives. Now they call them partners, I guess, because the English language needs to be more general. Goodness. Anyway, she's sitting up in Canada. She's there on a visiting visa. You know what that means? She cannot work. She cannot earn any money while she's in Canada on this visitor visa. Her and her partner, a dog and a cat, they moved up to British Columbia on the west coast of Canada. They're somewhere near Vancouver. It says the greater Vancouver area. That's what the article said. But she recently had to get back on Twitter, Instagram, one of those, and beg for help. You see, she can't work, so they had to scrimp everything they could from their savings accounts when they fled America. But she got on there, and she's telling everybody the cost of living in Canada is worse than it was in California. And they are shut out of the healthcare system because they're visitors. They don't have access to the healthcare system. And I got something I'll tell you about the healthcare system here in a minute up in Canada. That socialized medicine that Bernie Sanders and so many of those jackwagons want us to have. But she's on there begging for money because the rent is worse than California. The food is worse, cost-wise, than California. Boo-hoo, woe is me. Trump is going to unleash a genocide in America. Well, he's been in office a year? 2 years? A year. Has there been a genocide against law enforcement more so than anything else? That's thankful to the rhetoric that the left keeps throwing out there, the news media that are predominantly left, and the politician saying how bad law enforcement is. But there hasn't been a genocide in America. You want to see genocide, go to Google and pull up Gaza and look at the buildings that have been razed by the bombs that Israel's dropped in Gaza. But how much longer will she last up in Canada? They have a 6-month stay. I don't know if they're going to let her stay or if they're going to kick her out or if she's going to overstay her visitor visa and become an illegal alien. Oh, my. The idiocy writes itself. But I came across another article, and I talked about it on my Secrets program a couple weeks ago. There was a woman in Canada, had a heart surgery, and it didn't go well. She was 80, I think. She was in her 80s, and there were complications. You kind of expect that. But she was sent home, and she wanted palliative care. She wanted to go home, and her husband was going to take care of her, and they had a nurse coming in to take care of her. And she was doing okay. until her husband, the caregiver, suffered from exhaustion. And then she said that, well, maybe I would like to choose assisted suicide. So they had an evaluator come in, took her back to the hospital. An evaluator came in, and she changed her mind while she was in the hospital. She said, really, I don't want to do this, but I would like to have palliative care. Well, it was denied by the healthcare system in Canada. She's a useless eater. She's in her 80s. So the husband asked for a second opinion for euthanasia. And this person came in and said she's a prime candidate for euthanasia. The first assessor was at odds with the second and made herself known. They got a third assessor to come in, and two out of the three said that this woman needed to die. And it happened that day. If you have studied socialized medicine, you know that if you have a broken bone, they'll look at it, but they may put you off 6 months before they'll do an x-ray on, because it's not life-threatening. If your eyesight's going bad and you have a cataract, and all you have to do is have the cataract removed, it could be 8 months before they'll let you in to evaluate whether the cataract can be removed or not. During that whole time, you're blind. But it doesn't affect them because you're old. You're a useless eater. I keep coming back to that. When Obamacare was introduced, Rahm Emanuel's brother was on the board, and they were going to have a committee that would decide if you lived or died. And he wrote an article. Ezekiel Emanuel, I think, is his name. He wrote an article in a medical journal, said that even though I'm in my 70s, I'm not a productive member of society. And I'm active, but I'm not working. So I am a useless eater. And anybody that is retired is a useless eater, according to these people, this mindset. You can die the same day you ask to be euthanized in Canada. If you need medical care, you have to wait 6, 8 months, a year, before they'll look at you and evaluate. And then schedule you in 6, 8 months later down the line from that. Why is Canada wanting to kill off their population? That, to me, growing up, the doctors had the Hippocratic Oath, do no harm. Now it seems like they can't kill their patients off fast enough. And let's go to medical school. DEI is predominant in medical school. If you bother to take the time to look at the number of articles in alternative media where a nurse or a phlebotomist was offended because an old geezer like me, who is not woke, who is not politically correct, made a comment. There was a gentleman in his 70s, and the nurse had a they/them across their name tag. They wanted to be they/them, not she/her. Growing up, we didn't have to know what pronouns to use. But today, she wanted they, them, and he chuckled at it. He's totally oblivious. Well, she stabbed him 5 times before she got the vein, and she did it on purpose. And she bragged about it on social media. She lost her medical license. Couldn't practice as a nurse anymore. But they are taking unqualified people to be doctor because they have a quota that they want to set. Think about that. Your health in your golden years is going to be with people who may not have been qualified to be a doctor, but they were given a chance and they made it through. And I always say this, what do you call a person who graduates last in their medical class? Doctor. These people are going to be taking care of us in our golden years. And mine aren't that far away. I know Pastor Butch likes to tell me I'm a babe in the woods. He's got me by a few years. But send that down to your kids, let alone your grandchildren. DEI in the medical field is not positive. Same thing with pilots. They are pushing unqualified people to become pilots of these jumbo jets that are flying hundreds of people across the country. Now, I know that there's autopilot and they can land, they can take off, computer can do all that. But what happens if something happens, engine flames out? You need somebody with experience that knows what they're doing, that are qualified, that has experience. And honestly, when I'm on a plane, I could care less what color my pilot and co-pilot are. They could be fuchsia. I don't care, as long as they're qualified. Because I'm kind of partial to spending time with my wife and enjoying the life that we have. Now, if it's God's plan, so be it. But I don't want it to be because of somebody unqualified is behind the stick in the cockpit. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a unpolitically correct term. You don't call it a cockpit anymore. Because it denotes male masculinity, blah, 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 whatever. It is so stupid how we have twisted the English language. And I came across this on Twitter. It was from World of Statistics. And they surveyed college graduates who were out there in the job market looking for a job. And they asked them, were they satisfied with their major that they graduated college with? The one that stuck out to me was journalism, said 87% regretted getting a journalism degree. That blew my mind. I'm a journalism major, and I love to write. But I don't buy into the CRT, DEI mantra that I have to be politically correct. Let me give you an example. There was a shooting in a barbershop in Pflugerville, Texas, which is just north of Austin. And the local TV news station crafted a headline that blamed the shooter for shooting the criminal. That's how they twisted the language. And boy, howdy, they got called out for it on social media. But he was an off-duty police officer. Some guy came into the barbershop with a gun and was going to shoot everybody, and the cop neutralized the situation. Good for that officer. He protected everybody else's lives in there. That's part of the journalism problem. And they can't find work because people are tired of reading the garbage in the fish wrap. Some people call it a newspaper. They don't want to read it. Sociology, 72% regretted getting their degree. same amount of people that got a liberal arts degree. Now, I've always joked, do you know what you say when you get a liberal arts degree? Would you like to supersize that order? It's worthless. It is a useless throwaway degree. Education was fifth on this list. 61% regretted getting their degree in education. Being married to a teacher, I can see why. Because the inmates are running the asylum in Virginia. A transgender student sexually assaulted a female in the girls' bathroom, was kicked to a different school, and did it again. And the supervisors, the school board and the principals tried to cover it up. Education. You would be better off creating your own tutoring service for homeschool than you would going into public education. It's horrible. Number seven, medical clinical assisting, 58% said they wish they hadn't. Political science and government, 56%. Well, that's a lawyer. But number 10, this one I thought would be higher because it's almost as worthless as liberal arts. It was English language and literature, 52%. If you're not going to be a librarian, and I know I pronounced that wrong on purpose, if you're not going to be a librarian, why would you study English language and lit? But the number one least regretted major was computer science. Think about the demand that's out there for those in computer science, information technology, IT, engineering, finance, accounting, mathematics. A lot of these are steady jobs. And I've always been a proponent of getting a career in a field, electrical. Become an electrician. It's a trade. You'll make more money than a lot of these college graduates. Be a plumber. Somebody's got to do it. There's always going to be a demand for an electrician and a plumber. If you're in the South, HVAC, that's a trade that pays good money. And if you build up your clientele, how many of these jobs would lead to having your own business? I know a number of people who have spun off after they've worked 8, 10, 12 years for a company, and then they start their own. Because, number one, they have experience in the field. Number two, they've been able to see how a business should operate. And number three, if they've properly saved their money, they can take the jump. That's the American dream. How many people want to work for themselves? I will tell you, working for myself, you work twice as hard for half the money. But if you have a problem working for others, I said for, not with, for others, then why not? Or if you're looking to expand and maybe have two or three locations, then you can become CEO and a big cheese, and then you start making money. There's nothing wrong with getting a job in the trade. A mechanic. You know, when I was in high school, I wanted to take auto shop. And I was in all these honors courses. They thought I was smart. I wasn't a dummy. But I wanted to have an expansive knowledge. I was always curious. But they wouldn't let me take shop, automotive. What's funny is many years later, got a chance to work in a machine shop, in an automotive machine shop. And I worked on crank grinding. I worked on engine building. I specialized in cylinder heads. And then I got a job at a high-performance shop where we built race engines. And I spent 6 years there and had a blast. Loved it. The machines that we worked on were state-of-the-art. But it was cool to take something that was broken and with my two hands and my experience and fix it. So if it was a cracked cylinder head, I could fix it. Yes, cast iron, I could fix it. You can't weld it. There's a trick you have to do. But I would see stuff come in, aluminum, that was destroyed. I had a welder right behind the shop. Great guy. Christian gentleman. And he would do the things that needed to be done. I would go back and machine it, and it would be good as new when I was finished. Got to meet some very interesting people. But you don't have to have a college degree to be a success. You can go as far as you want to go unless you limit yourself. And I can't remember the exact wording of the saying, but you're not a failure until you quit. We all fail. We try something, not doesn't work. So you get up and you try it again. And you learn from the first time. But you're not a failure until you quit. So if you've got children, grandchildren that are not sure what they want to do, point them towards a trade. I was in construction for a while. I roofed houses in Texas. Ooh, man, I tell you what, you talk about heat. Get up on a shingled roof in the afternoon in Texas when it's 100 and something degrees. It's even hotter up there. But I shingled roofs. I did construction. I hated doing trim work, but I did construction. Love rough end. I can do drywall. Point your children to trades. It's a good living. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. Pastor Butch will be back with you soon. Thank you so much. God bless everybody.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.